From the 1920s through the 1950s, radio shows captivated families around the world with dramatic stories that left them breathless and wanting more. Well, I have great news. Today's guest is Peter Atkinson, the brilliant creator of The Saints, Catholic radio series that will bring your family together and thrill their souls into the bargain. Stay with us.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and I'm excited to welcome Peter Atkinson to the show to talk about his The Saints Catholic radio series. Peter Atkinson is a Catholic entrepreneur and actor. He was born in Canada, grew up outside Washington, D.C., and studied classics at Ave Maria University. He received Ave Maria University's most prestigious award, the President's Award, and graduated summa cum laude. Working with high school students, Peter founded a study abroad program in Rome and a Shakespearean acting program in Florida. After training in Massachusetts and London, Peter went on to earn a master's degree in fine arts in acting from Columbia University's grad school. And while in grad school, he starred in Eugene O'Neill's Ah Wilderness off Broadway and founded the Merry Beggars, an entertainment production company, and met his beloved wife, Naomi. In 2021, The Merry Beggars was acquired by Relevant Radio, and Peter moved to Chicago to develop original entertainment programming for the national network. Peter has walked across America on foot for the pro-life movement, taught rock climbing in Switzerland, been published in First Things, and has one beautiful daughter named Francesca Marie Atkinson. You can find Peter Atkinson and lots of beautiful programming at themerrybeggars.com, and that's in the show notes. Welcome to the program, Peter. It's so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be on Homeschooling Saints. I was homeschooled. I'm trying to be a saint, so I feel like this is a good place to be.
Yeah, you are right. You are right in our zone. We're so happy to have you. We have so many really creative kids in our homeschool families, and we don't always know kind of, what is the Lord going to do with that calling? Do you mind just saying a few words about your own and what it means to you as a Catholic?
Yeah, you mean my own past, my own upbringing, things like that, how it led? Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind is just my mom. Like, my mom poured so much into not only myself, but my siblings. I'm the youngest of six children, and all of us were really well formed by my mom and my dad. And so growing up, I remember really distinctly, my mom made a real point of teaching us art history, of making sure that we were surrounded by beautiful music, making sure that we took time to read and to go to museums and things like that. And we all were involved in theater for many, many years when we were young. And so when I look back at my life, it is sort of hilarious that I'm probably the only 30-year-old working in radio theater in America, or at least, you know, one of maybe three or four. But it's so beautiful because I can look back at my life and see all of the creative energy that my parents encouraged in me, leaning towards now where we're working with over 300 actors to produce the stories of the saints and bring them to hundreds of thousands of families, all for free. And that would not have been possible without every step of the journey. I think it was Kierkegaard who said, life is lived forwards and understood backwards. Mm-hmm. And if I look back at my life, I can see like my mom waking up and giving us a really good structure and teaching us how to be organized and disciplined and giving us a love of art and art history and writing and all of that stuff. Now, the seeds that she planted in me is, you know, bearing, God willing, bearing good fruit for hundreds of thousands of families. And it's just incredible because left to my own devices, or if I went to a public school or whatnot, none of that would have happened. And one of the reasons that my wife and I are planning on homeschooling our family is because when I was homeschooled, I would wake up at 4 a.m., much to the chagrin of my parents. I would do my schoolwork very early in the morning, get it done, do the writing, do the reading, which is, you know, easier in the middle school grades and whatnot before you get to high school. And then I would spend the rest of the day listening to old radio, doing stop motion animation, and like doing projects, like just sort of entrepreneurial things around the house. And all of that creative energy, all of that creative fire that God has given me with, or given me, that would not have had an outlet if I was forced to be in an educational structure where the class moves at the pace of the slowest student, where the people who need creative outlets, the people who are going to teach themselves how to do magic tricks and then torment all of their family members to watch every magic trick. Not that I would know anything about that. If you ever meet me, just hand me a deck of cards and I'll be occupied for 20 minutes.
Awesome.
None of that would have happened without the community we're in of homeschool families. I had a great community of homeschool friends growing up. And then just the sacrifice that my mother made when she decided to homeschool us. My mom, when she was pregnant with her eldest, Jennifer, my oldest sister, she was a speech pathologist in graduate school, and she was starting grad school in that. And then she had Jen and was like, all right, I'm out. Like, this is, I need to homeschool these children. And the rest is so far history. So that's sort of like, it's incredible looking back to see how deeply homeschooling allowed the creative gifts that he gave not only me, but my brothers and sister, and one of our staff, our production manager, was also homeschooled. It's amazing to see how much they were able to blossom and deepen because of that. And wow. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to the homeschool choir, but you know, we need preaching too in today's culture. It's easy to think that we're the misfits or that not many people are doing this. And homeschooling is the fastest growing form of education over the past few years. I think it grew like 40 or 50%. And there's a reason for that, that once people got a look into public schools, it doesn't take very long to realize that this is not optimal for human flourishing.
Yeah, amen to that. And I just want to say, as a coach and someone who works with talent development, what I've noticed too is that highly driven, creative people in a factory school system often get labeled as ADD or ADHD. Yeah. They get medicated, they get labeled. It's awful what happens.
Last night I was working until 11, go to bed. I get up at 4:30 a.m. to do, you know, I run, do my prayers, all that stuff. And I'm the happiest I've ever been because it's just like, this is what God made me to do. Now, I need more sleep than that, but like, this is what God made me to do. And if I was forced to be in a cookie cutter educational system designed by Dewey in reaction to factories in America in the 1950s, 40s, I would have been depressed. I would have been on Adderall. I would have been all these different things. And it's like, It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. So I want to, my message to all of your listeners who are homeschooling is keep fighting the good fight. It is so, so good and needed in our culture. And I don't know why this is making me emotional 5 minutes into the podcast, but really it's just thinking of my mom and like the seeds that she planted, you'll only see the fruits of it in eternal life. I mean, sometimes you get lucky and you see some fruits, you know, 20, 30 years later, but it's good work. So everyone who's listening, who's homeschooling, just, you know, I just want to encourage you because it's worth it.
Thank you for your witness. Thank you so much, Peter, because, you know, my jokey self wants to say, okay, cut, that's a wrap. That was the best commercial for homeschooling ever. But in my heart of hearts, my heart is actually burning. I'm just sensing the Holy Spirit is with us today. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for your vulnerability and for that personal witness. We need witnesses. And everybody out there has their times when they're struggling. And we have a lot of new homeschoolers. So you're not just preaching to people who are just nodding their heads. A lot of us are. But there's also a lot of people out there saying, oh, wow, thank you. I needed that today.
Yeah. And there's so many. I mean, the amazing thing, too, is today there are more resources for homeschooling than ever before in history. So the fact that you can go online and get 50 different curriculums that are all like founded in classical pedagogy, it's like Now the difficult thing is picking, right? Is like picking. But back then when I was growing up, there were maybe three different ones that different homeschool families would use. There was Mother Divine Grace, there was Seton. We used Calvert School up through eighth grade. But now there's just so many. I think this podcast is great. I think Homeschool Connections is awesome. And I just, my wife and I talk about this a lot, and it's so important. So important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's people like you that often end up teaching at Homeschool Connections. So just put that on your prayer list. We've got Kevin and other really fabulous creative people just doing beautiful work there as well. So that's just my little thought, my little aside. So step us into this. You've got this incredible series. I've gotten to listen to a little bit of it, where you have actors and sound effects and all the beautiful atmospheric things and real directing and pacing. These are beautiful. Tell us where it began. Why and how did you start this Saint series?
Yeah, so our current series right now is called The Saints, and you can listen to it. You can search up The Saints on Spotify or anywhere you get podcasts, and you can also go to our website. You can go to thesaintspodcast.com, and everything is there. It's all free. This is the fruit of 2.5 years at Relevant Radio, and then before that, about 4 years of developing The Merry Beggars. So to give you sort of a Cliff Notes version of this, which I know is an anathema to homeschoolers, but to give the sort of the Cliff Notes version of this, I grew up, I wanted to study philosophy. My dad's a theologian. And so I thought, okay, every kid thinks that, right? Every kid takes their dad's career or their mom's career as the default, right? And that's also not entirely a bad thing, because temperaments and family culture like tend to, so, you know, I'm not bashing that. I thought that I was going to go into academia. I loved philosophy. I thought, oh, I'm going to be Aristotle 2.0, right? Spoiler alert, I'm not. But that was the level of my ambition. I go to Ave Maria University. I study classics there, and I love it. It's really difficult. I loved Ave Maria. But I always felt like something missing. Like there was something that I wasn't fed by or fulfilled by just in sort of the library academic setting. And so I started doing Shakespeare at Ave Maria University, and just that the rocket took off. The rocket took off. I had done 11 years of theater growing up with other homeschoolers, and it was always the social thing to do. It was always fun, but it was never a career. It was never serious, right? It was just like, oh, you play soccer, you do theater, so on and so forth. Even at Ave Maria University, it wasn't until my senior year, after I had played Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream, that some administrative person said, you know, referenced my performance from the stage. And she said, you know, some of you will go on to be entertainers, some of you will go on to be priests. And I thought, wait a second, that was a choice? I could be an entertainer? Like, that's a legitimate career? And so I, long story short, I ended up teaching for 2 years at a Catholic classical school down in Florida, founding a Shakespeare program there, studying Shakespeare in Massachusetts, and then in London, and then auditioning and getting into Columbia University. And the plan was always become an actor, be an actor, do the acting thing, you know, and figure it out as you go along. As I started to get more and more into the professional acting world, I realized that there was not really going to be a space for someone who wanted to be a faithful Catholic in the entertainment industry, which is an understatement. I trained in Massachusetts at Shakespeare and Company. Amazing training. The head of training there was an ex-Jesuit priest. The head of clown was an ex-Jesuit seminarian anyway. And like, they were all devoted, very sincere atheistic Marxists, which was my first time encountering that in real life. And that was the point at which I got the nickname from one of the acting teachers, the poster boy of the patriarchy, which was lovely. And I still want a t-shirt with that on it. One of the women there who was studying with me, I told her, you know, I feel like I'm too sort of explicitly creative for a lot of Catholic circles, where at least in my academic setting, it was very, you know, doctrinal orthodoxy, focusing on the truth, mostly understood as like intellectual truth. I was too creative for that sort of arena. But then in the creative arena, everyone just sort of jettisons their brain, right? So like in the creative arena, morals go out the window. Any sort of intellectual coherence goes out the window. Truth becomes my truth. Like, so I was sort of in a crossroads of how am I supposed to exist? Because if I pretend that I'm supposed to be an academic, I'm going to be really unhappy. If I go down this creative path, I'm going to, you know, lose my soul. So neither, you know, good options. And so that's where the Mary Bakers eventually came out of, was I went to Columbia University for graduate school. I studied acting there. And while I was there, I would get up every day super early. I would pray or go to adoration, and I would work on what would eventually become the Mary Bakers. It was not originally an audio company. So the Mary Bakers was essentially a ministry to Catholic artists or Christian artists. And the idea behind it was sort of vague. It was like trying to find ways to coalesce Catholic artists to have an impact on the culture. The mission was to heal the culture. And we had some traction with that, but not very much. And it would have gone the way of a lot of very well-meaning nonprofits of just fizzling out and you know, saying we tried, but it's just not happening. Then COVID happened. Everything got shut down. I was performing, or we were in rehearsal for 12th Night that was about to perform in New York, and that just got axed. I still remember we were in the middle of rehearsal in a black box theater when they were like, we're not doing this. And we at the Mary Bakers, we had been planning this conference in New York that got totally shut down. So I was faced with a choice of, do I shut the Mary Bakers down? Do I try and make the conference virtual? What do I do? And I, you know, very thankfully had some really good business mentors, business voices helping me. And one of the questions that I was taught to ask is, what does this make possible? So in circumstance that is difficult, when an obstacle shows up, when things seem impossible, if your health suffers, whatever happens, it's always a really good reframe to ask, well, what does this make possible? And then the other question is, what needs to be true in order for this to happen? So with the first question, I thought, okay, we need to shut everything down before, you know, we need to do it quickly so that we don't spend a lot of money on an event that doesn't happen. What does this make possible? Well, I've always loved audio. I've always loved radio. Why don't we produce radio plays on the theme of quarantine? So we produced a quarantine plays, and I had no idea how to do any of it. I figured it out as it went along. So another kudos to homeschooling and figuring out stuff as you go along, both the mom and the student. I figured out how to produce audio plays. And because of growing up and listening to thousands of old radio shows, I knew how to do it intuitively. My ear was trained. My theatrical sense was trained. I knew how to do it. So we started producing these. I got married, right? I wanted to produce one before I got married. So I produced one. We got married on August 8th at St. Dominic's Church on St. Dominic's Feast Day by a Dominican priest in Washington, D.C. Wow. And, which now that I say that, I realize that I haven't told his story yet. So I probably should do that as a thank you. And so we start producing these, and it's not looking really good in terms of, you know, we're not getting revenue. This is my full-time job. I'm flying around trying to fundraise, but it's difficult to fundraise and produce at the same time. So fast forward to 2021, early 2021, my wife and I say, okay, we want to have as many children as we can. This nonprofit startup salary is not making it happen. So what do we do? Well, to my wife's credit, she said, let's give it a year. Let's consecrate it to St. Joseph. And if the trend is headed in the right direction, then we'll keep doing it. If the trend is not headed in the right direction, then I'll go and become a financial advisor or something. And then 3 months later, we were bought by Relevant Radio. So, and then the story of that is remarkable. It was February. I don't care about sports whatsoever. My wife does. I was trying to be a good husband. And so I called up one of my friends and said, where are you watching the Super Bowl? Invite me. So he invites me. We watch the Super Bowl at this lawyer's house. I end up telling them about the Mary Bakers, think nothing of it. Later, that lawyer, and we'll go into a little bit of the history here. Relevant Radio was a commercial radio network for a very long time. By being a commercial radio network, under FCC law, you have to accept messaging from all political candidates. Now, Relevant Radio is the most pro-life organization outside of being a pregnancy center. Like, it is unbelievably pro-life. You had politicians using our network before the 2020 election, targeting Catholic voters with abortion messaging. And it was all automatic. Like, no human oversaw these things. They were all automatically plugged in. And so Father Rocky, and I'll shout out to Father Rocky here. He doesn't like to talk about this or boast about this. Father Rocky made the decision that it would be better for the entire, and this is another thing, it gets me emotional. He decided that it would be better for the entire company to go down and not participate in evil than to preserve the company and say, well, it's not formal cooperation, it's remote material. Like, you could come up with some. He said, no, we're just going to cut off our legs and see what happens, and entrust it to Our Lady. So he did. And he had to fast track Relevant Radio going from non-commercial or going from commercial to non-commercial. And so he called up someone who had a connection at the FCC. And that person was the lawyer whose house I went to for the Super Bowl party. And because I wanted to be a good husband and take my wife to go see the Super Bowl, that lawyer connected with Father Rocky, set up a phone call. And that's why the Merry Beggars is part of Relevant Radio, which is, again, just a testimony to God's providence. And also a testimony that we can work as hard as we can, and we should, but ultimately, like, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that makes those connections happen. I also realized I still haven't answered your question, which is, where did the saints come from? That's sort of the history of the Merry Beggars and of me a little bit. The saints came out of wanting to support families in a really intentional way by telling the stories that our culture is not going to tell. I didn't want to produce a series of saint stories that were overly pious or very hokey or sort of schmarmy and sentimental and adults can't stand listening to. Because if you actually look at the stories of the saints, they're not picture books. They are real human beings who really doubted, were in real conflict with their family members, who were afraid, who doubted. And I think it does a bit of a disservice to children to present a picture of the saints where, if you believe in God, life is nothing but cotton candy. And, you know, how long is that going to last? Still about seventh grade when a bully hits them, right? I think it's much more, if more akin to my heart, more deep in my heart, of the saints went through difficulties, but because of their love of God, they were given the courage and the faith and the fire to be heroes, to have courage in the midst of difficulty. And so, We've told, I have them on the wall right here. We've told Patrick, Joan of Arc, Frassati, Francis of Assisi, Carlo Acutis, John Paul II, Benedict Nursa, Juan Diego. This week, we're telling Kateri Takakwitha. And then, let's see if I can do this in one breath. Upcoming, we have Isaac Jogues, St. George, Seton, Bakita, Valentine, Damon of Molokai, Bernard of Lourdes, Francis Cabrini, John Bosco, Edith Stein, Paul Miki, Stanley Rother, Claire of Assisi, St. Tempana, Gianna Mala, St. Charbel, Junipero Serra, Teresa of Lisieux, Philip Howard, Helena of Constantinople, which actually we're changing that one, but Maximilian Colby, Ale de Fatima, and Jose Maria Escriva, all by June of next year. So we're trying to get, this is 165 episodes out, over 300 actors and artists and... It's a lot, but it's what our culture needs, and it's where God has pointed us. And so far, it's been a lot of fun and a lot of work.
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely thrilling. And everybody, we just have to take a quick sponsor break, and we'll be right back with Peter Atkinson talking about the Saints Catholic Radio series. So exciting. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now back to our program.
All right, welcome back. We're talking with Peter Atkinson about the Saints Catholic Radio Series, and this has just been so much fun and so rich. Peter, I feel like this is also a little bit of a masterclass in listening to the voice of God, trusting in His providence, and just being bold with our talents. Feel free to reflect on that.
Well, just a note on that. Ever since I've been very young, I've been very, very driven, and it's been something that I still am trying to learn daily, not always successfully, of that we have a loving Father who is going to take care of us. You know, the lie that's always in my heart and everyone else's heart is that there is no God. We have to fend for ourselves, so on and so forth. And I remember it was just one point of providence with the Merry Beggars. It was Christmas. I was at my in-laws, and I was trying to fundraise, and I was so frustrated. This was before Relevant Radio was in the picture. It must have been winter 2020. And I just said, you know what? I've had it. I'm just going to let it fizzle out. If no more money comes in, I'll go get a real job, but I'm not going to miss being with my in-laws over Christmas. Like, I've had enough. We're done. So I go downstairs, have a great time with my in-laws. And then I think it was the next day or like 2 days after, I get a completely unsolicited check for over $5,000. Completely unrequested, unsolicited. And it was just a reminder. Well, at the time I was like, all right, fine, I'll keep going. But it's such a reminder. And my dad has stories like that of, God has more money than anyone. You don't need to worry about that. You need to put in the work, and you need to stay surrendered, and you need to love God and be detached. All of which things I'm not great at. So thankfully, hopefully I'll live for another few decades so I can get better at it. But the journey has been a real lesson in surrender and detachment. It's not easy, but it's beautiful to see what God does with it.
Yeah, praise God. And it's only when we take those leaps of faith or let go and rest in Him. One of my favorite scriptures I have up here on my wall is Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to keep still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so I kind of want to like bring us to the people who are listening out there in their homeschools and homes and various kinds of families doing different things, right? How are they using the series?
Yeah, so that was something that I thought about really intentionally when we were designing this series. We produced a series before called On the Night Train. I worked a year and a half on that, and it was super fun. It's a great series. You can go listen to it now. The episodes were long. So the episodes were about 30 to 40 minutes, which is a bit of a time commitment. So with the Saints, what we did is we took each saint story and we divided it into 5 episodes. And each episode is 15 minutes or less. They usually average around 12, 13 minutes. And the reason is when we looked at the data, that's how long people were listening on average, about 10 to 15 minutes in sessions and chunks. And that allows the kids to look forward to a Saint episode every weekday, right? Every single weekday, there's a new episode of the Saints. So some of our audience uses it during their commute to school. Every single day they're listening to it. So they've gotten to the point where they repeat with me at the end, go to thesaintspodcast.com to listen to it, so and so forth, which is fun. Teachers are using it in their classrooms, which is really fun. And families are listening to them as bedtime stories, which works well for some series, but for like John Paul II, where you have Nazis, it's like, that might be a little intense. But So that's we've seen people use it in a lot of different ways. We also are providing parental guidance with every episode so that basically you can figure out if it's a bedtime story or not. So it's been really cool to see parents integrate it into their education with the children, into commute time. And my hope for this series was really, can the saints become a daily part of families' lives? Can the children fall in love with the saints and know that every single day there'll be another chapter in that adventure? We're working on, it's a little bit difficult to get out while also producing this amount of content, but we're working on producing coloring sheets and discussion questions and, word searches and different things like that families can print out and use with their children as well.
That's wonderful. It's so nice because something like this does bring the family together, just like read alouds, on a lot of different levels, and they take it in on different levels.
Yep. There's absolutely zero screen time involved with anything like this. And what's cool, what I really like about audio is from an audience perspective, you can see each other while you're listening, which at least when I listen with my wife, like there'll be a moment and I'll look at her and like, it's just so cool it's a different way of experiencing it together. So that instead of a screen where, you know, you sit down, you watch, you know, 4 hours of Paw Patrol or whatnot, and then you get up and you haven't really connected with the people next to you. The cool thing about this is that you can actually have eye contact with your children while they're listening. You can see their reactions. They can see your reaction. And it's just a different listening experience, which is really fun.
Yeah. And so stimulating to their imaginations. There is so much imagination aside, yeah. You know, the slaughter of imaginations going on in our culture, just awful.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're kind of touching on then the potential of what it can do for us. And any other final thoughts you'd like to take us out with, Peter, today?
I mean, I'll just return to what I said at the beginning, which is the mission of what we're doing is to support what you're doing. Like, we're not just sending this out into the void because, you know, we want to tell these stories. We do. But the real mission of what we're doing is to support what you, the moms and dads who are, you know, sacrificing your ambition, sacrificing your time, sacrificing most of all your sleep, in order to homeschool and have children at home. You know, if you weren't homeschooling, I'm sure there are lots of other things you would rather be doing with your time. And so like, it's a real sacrifice. And so where my heart is with this series and with everything we do is how can we support homeschool families in raising up young saints and raising up young men and women who are men of integrity, women of integrity, men and women of courage, who have a vim and a vigor for life, who have a sense of adventure. Like that's who we need in our culture. And if our series can make your job easier, if our series can make the job of mom just a little bit easier so that their kids want to be saints, their kids are excited about the saints. And their idea of holiness is not a cookie cutter, pray, pay, and obey, but is the truth of the faith, which is that God has a unique call on your life and you will be disappointed until you listen to it. And that for me has been true. I've never been more stressed and more exhausted than the past like 5 years while building this thing. But I've never been bored for a minute. And it's so obvious that this is the greatest way that I can serve the church and serve homeschoolers and serve the families that are homeschooling. So the only thing I would say is, let us know if there is another way that we can serve you. Let us know. We love to hear from audience members about how they're using these things. One of the things that I really, really have on my heart is building a bigger community around a series like this so that they can see what each other are doing and be inspired and encourage each other. But our mission is to serve your work because your work is the most important thing happening in the world.
Yeah, amen and amen. Everybody, please pray for Peter Atkinson, his wife Naomi, and their family. Please say a prayer every time you listen to an episode of The Saints or The Night Train or anything else that's on the marybeggars.com website. Also, the saintspodcast.com website. We're going to have all that in the show notes. And also say a prayer of thanksgiving and protection for Father Rocky and Relevant Radio and all the good people involved here in this beautiful creative work that gives glory to God, honors the saints, and also allows the glory of man fully alive, which we've just we just heard from one of them, a young man fully alive, really engaged in the kingdom building.
And I'll give one shout out of just something that really struck me because, you know, I'll listen to these and sometimes be struck by new things as deeply involved as I am in the creative process. I was running last week on Tuesday morning, listening to the second episode of Juan Diego. And that's the episode where Juan Diego talks to Our Lady, talks to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I was just weeping while running. I was just like in tears and tears and tears. And it has like fundamentally shaped and changed the way that I relate to Mary, which is hilarious because I produce this, right? I should know what's happening. But that's what is so incredible about the power of the imagination is we are visual, imaginative creatures. That's why we need the crucifix. That's why we need art. That's why we need icons. And I listen to, for your listeners, your homework is go listen to episode 2 of Juan Diego and let me know what you think of our depiction of Our Lady, because it's so simple and disarming and it's not magical. There's not tons of amazing sound effects of other words. It's just simple and human. And it's changed how I relate to Our Lady. And that's my hope for your listeners and for everyone who encounters our work, is that we can encourage their hearts and renew their minds, renew their imaginations, so that it more easily draws them towards God.
Amen and amen. And thank you, Lord, for always showing up in our work, which is how he, I have no doubt, snuck up on you after all that hard work and landed a Holy Spirit bomb on your heart. Praise God. He's amazing. All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. We are praying for you. Please pray for us too, and have a beautiful day in the Lord. And don't forget to check out themarybeggars.com. God bless you. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.